All right, let's begin. Let's go back, please, to chapter 16 of the book of the Revelation. And we are coming to the final couple of chapters concerning the tribulation period. Now, if you will remember Bible eschatology, and Bible eschatology has five points to it, five categories to it. First, there is the rapture, and that's the next thing to happen. The rapture of the church could happen at any time. Our news, our media, they don't tell you anything. You know, they don't tell you anything. They only tell you what they want you to know. And that's not much. And so I don't know if you've been looking at any other sources, the Jerusalem Post, maybe some of the other sites like the UK Daily Mail. You can, if you can wade through all the garbage that's on that, they normally usually have some very informative news about what's happening. And so what's been happening lately is Israel and Iran and Syria and Russia have been exchanging barbs and bombs. All right, they've been exchanging bombs. For example, Russia fired two missiles at Israeli jets over Syria day before yesterday, I think it was. Israel takes our F-16s and our F-18s and our all the other planes that we sell to them. And then they beef them up. And so they fired two missiles and figured there's no sense in wasting any more of our missiles because they're not going to hit them. But nonetheless, Russia fired on Israel 2 days ago. Also, Israel just had a mock set of war games where the entire IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Forces, the entire IDF had simulated war games against Iran, all right? And they are, so a lot of people are really thinking that Israel is not going to put up with the Ayatollah and his mouth and all the threats that are coming out of there. And they certainly are not afraid of Russia after seeing what Russia has in Ukraine. And so everybody has been called to duty in Israel, even the reserves. And so it's getting serious over there. And there's also a lot of talk about the construction of the third temple. A lot of talk about that. And I hope that that's not just a bunch of babble. I hope that that is accurate. And because it's all pointing to the fact that our Savior is coming back very soon. I would like to think that it is a whole lot closer than any of us could ever think or imagine, that we should be prepared for the Lord to return at any day. I mean, it's really getting that serious over in that part of the world where things need to get serious for the Lord to come back. And, when the Lord Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse that in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And you know, we don't hear any of this. Have any of you all heard this news that I'm telling you about tonight? Well, I know you have. That's not fair. All right. Judy has, and a couple over here. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it's silent. The news is silent on all this. And it ought to be, I mean, it really ought to be the headline, the major story at the beginning of every news hour, because the focus is where the focus needs to be. All right, so as we look now at the last part of this 16th chapter, we are looking at the seventh angel that is going to pour out his vial into the air and bring great wrath and judgment upon the earth. All right, we started with verse 2, the first vial, and when excuse me, when the first vial came, there was a noisome and grievous sore that came upon men, and it only came upon those who had the mark of the beast and upon those who worshiped his image. All right, in verse 3, you saw the second angel as he poured out his vial, and he poured his vial out upon the sea. And the sea became as blood, as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Everything died. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his vial now upon the rivers, upon the fountains of waters, and they became blood. So you've got the salt water, the sea in verse 3, and then in verse 4, you've got the fresh water. Now, folks, there's one thing that all human beings have to survive. That's water, sure. All right, air and water. But we've got to have water. If we don't have water, we won't live. We won't survive. Okay, then, and so we see, if you remember, we learned that in verse 6, that the people who took the mark and supported the beast, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. And God says, or the angel said, that God has given them blood to drink. All right, so it's almost like God is saying, you wanted blood? You wanted the blood of my saints? You wanted the blood of my prophets? All right, I'm going to give you blood. And the waters upon the earth, both under the ground and above ground and in the seas, all became as the blood of dead men. God said, for thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. All right, then we learned that in the fourth one, in verse 8, that power was given to this angel to scorch men with fire. And that certainly is not going to be a pleasant situation. All right, then the fifth one in verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast and his kingdom. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Folks, let me tell you something. When you are so hard of heart that you are being judged and you know you're being judged, and yet you harden your heart against God, the one bringing the judgment, well, you're sunk. There's no hope for you at all. And that's what these people do. They blaspheme the God of heaven, blaspheme God. Can you imagine that? And those sores in verse 2 that fell upon all of them caused pain and suffering, yet they repented not of their deeds. All right, then last week, or last month, whenever was the last time we were able to look at this, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the river Euphrates, and three unclean spirits like frogs, verse 13, came out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So there you have all three parts of the satanic Godhead. All right, all three parts. You've got the dragon, you've got the beast, the Antichrist, and you've got the beast, the false prophet. And all three of them, they're together, and these spirits come out of their mouths, each one, and they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Now, why? What is, how are they going to be used of God? Well, it's kind of strange, don't you think? Or kind of ironic, I guess. God is going to use the devil, Satan, and the beast, and the false prophet. He's going to use those three to bring the nations of the world to the Battle of Armageddon. He's drawing them to their own demise. Think about that. But they are so full of hatred towards God. They hate God with a passion. And so blinded by their hatred that they cannot see what they're doing. And so look at verse 16. The Bible says, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Now, as I've told you many, many times, and please don't ever forget this, Armageddon means the hill of the telling. The hill of the telling. And certainly, the Battle of Armageddon is going to be the telling point when the world is going to see who is God and who is not. All right? Who is God and who is not? And it's going to be very clear. God is going to win. All right, then verse 17. This is where we left off last time. It says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It is done. Teleos. One word. It is finished, if you will. That's the same thing Jesus cried on the cross. It is finished. All right. And so this voice comes out of the temple in heaven, not the one on earth, but the one up in heaven. You'll remember that when God had Moses to build the temple, he told him, he said, I'm going to take you up to heaven. Moses went to heaven and God showed him the tabernacle. God showed it to him. And he said, now I want you to build it exactly down on the earth. I want you to build that just like it's built here. And then Solomon comes along and he builds the temple. And we learn when we get to the New Testament, to the book of the Revelation, that there, and Hebrews, that there is a temple now that's in heaven. So what we have on the earth is merely a copy of what is in heaven. And so there was a voice that that came out of the temple, and it simply said, "It is done." So in other words, God's wrath is now complete. With this seventh vial that is being poured out, the wrath and judgment of God upon the earth and upon mankind is now complete. It's finished. Okay? And so when that happened, there were, verse 18, voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. In other words, this earthquake that's going to happen at toward the end of the 7 years is going to be like none other. Like none other. It is going to be that violent, and it is going to be that severe. And if you'll look, please, at verse 19, it says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations," what's the next word? Fell. Fell. You know, folks, for as long as we have record, cities are nothing more than cesspools of iniquity. That's for as long as we've been on the planet and have record, cesspools of iniquity. And it's sad. I mean, it really is sad that that people are today leaving the cities in droves. And the reason they are is because of the wickedness of man. Amen. It's not safe to walk down the street in the middle of the day. It's not safe to walk down the street when you've got a policeman on each corner. Their hands are tied. And that it's terrible when you can't even sit out on your front porch or out on your steps without fear of a drive-by shooting and your children being caught in a crossfire. I mean, it's sad, but that's what's happening in our cities today. All right, so look at the rest of it. It says, "And the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone," notice that, "every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Now, folks, that I'm telling you, what's just described here is awful. It's just absolutely awful. Now, let's look at a couple of things here concerning the seventh angel that was turned loose upon the earth. Accompanying this great earthquake, we read in verse 21 that there was great hailstones that will fall from the sky. Now, our country has been experiencing out in the Midwest a lot of hailstorms. We have been seeing a lot of hailstorms in America, out in the Midwest this spring. And when they show the damage that a hailstone about that big around can make, it's absolutely unbelievable. But wait a minute, folks. Do you see how the Lord described these hailstones? Look at it. It says every stone about the weight of a talent. Now, I did some digging around to find out the weight of a talent. And what I found out was really kind of interesting. I found out that a talent as a unit of weight, all right, there were talents that were units of money, but a talent that was a unit of weight, a way of measuring how heavy an item is, well, that was always throughout Old Testament and New Testament times on the order of 100 pounds or more. Now, have you ever seen a hailstone that would weigh 100 pounds? No, you haven't, have you? Huh? Oh, that's bigger than a basketball. It would have to be bigger than a basketball. Maybe the size of two basketballs. Now, 100 pounds. Now, come on, folks. Think about that. A talent. Here's what they said. Huge. All right. Listen, I'm gonna blow you away here in a minute. Now, listen. Basically, anything that was heavier than what the average man could pick up without straining was considered a talent. All right? So, and they averaged it out that it normally was anything over 100 pounds. All right? Now, I want you to notice this. And go back to verse 18. It says, there were voices, thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great what? Earthquake. A great earthquake. Now, you know what causes earthquakes, right? You know what causes earthquakes, all right? That is when there is movement between the plates that are under the earth. Okay, there is often, as it is out in California, there is a fault line, what's called a fault line. I have flown out to California several times through the years to preach, and yes, there are churches in California, good churches, but I always try to get a seat by the window so I can see all the scenery. And I have flown over that San Andreas Fault. I mean, you're right down on it when you're coming into San Francisco. You just go right over top of it. And actually, there are two faults out there you can see. I don't know what they are. Maybe one's the San Andreas. I don't know. But what's the other one? I don't know, but anyway, you can tell it's a fault line. It goes forever. And so normally, and you've noticed this a lot here lately, all right? And the reason you've noticed it is because we have a world that videotapes everything, okay? And so it's put on the internet for our entertainment. And what we have noticed is that with most earthquake activity, you can run it, trace it to volcanic activity as well. Okay? Now think about that. Over in the faults around Europe, over on the Pacific side, where all those little islands are out there. All those islands are volcanoes. They're just volcanoes. That's all they are. Okay? That's all they are. Most of the Philippine islands, they're just volcanoes. The Central America, Costa Rica and Nicaragua and El Salvador and all, they're just volcanoes. They're everywhere you look. When you're down there, you see them everywhere. All right, now, notice now, if you will, okay? Now, he said, look at verse 18, that this great earthquake was not since men were upon the earth. In other words, there will never be an earthquake as terrible and as great as what this earthquake is going to be. Now, jump down, please, to see the effects of it. In verse 19, the great city, and that's Jerusalem, the great city was divided into three parts. In other words, there will be a fault that will go to the north, and the earth will split open. There will be a fault that will go towards the south, and then there will be a fault that will come off towards the Temple Mount. All right, now think about this, folks. It says that that when this great earthquake happens and Jerusalem is divided into three parts, verse 20, every island fled away. Every island. Wow. That's pretty something, isn't it? Now watch this. And the what? Mountains. What mountains? The mountains. All mountains. Yeah. That's the Alps, and that's the Appalachian, and that's the Rockies, and all of them. All of them, they're gone. All right, now, hold your place here and go back to Isaiah for just a moment. All right, look, please, if you will, at verse 3, I just pick one, they're all good, okay? 40, I'm sorry, didn't I tell you what chapter? Oh, I'm losing my mind. You stay out of this. Verse 3, all right, are you there? All right, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now watch this, verse 4. Watch this prophecy. Every valley shall be exalted, and every what? Mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. All right, what's the crooked besides politicians? I'm talking about terra firma, okay, the earth. What is the crooked ways? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken Route 60 through West Virginia? There are some turns there where you can wave at yourself and yourself will wave back at you. I mean, they are that sharp. Amazing, isn't it? Well, all of that, all the crooked highways, everything, it's just, the earth is going to be flat. It's going to be reduced to what it was when God created it. Amen. Amen. All right, now, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, it's happening. and there's nothing going to be able to stop it. All right? So go back now. All right, you with me on all this? Okay, so you got the earthquake, and what does the earthquake do? Divides the city of Jerusalem, and then it also, in verse 19, shatters, destroys Babylon, the great kingdom of the Antichrist, and then every island is fled away. The mountains are not found. Now watch. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every what? Stone. Now why? You'll notice that's in italics, right? And when you see in your King James Bible, when you see a word in italics, it is put there by the King James translators to make the sentence a complete sentence. All right? And they really were not sure, according to what I read from one of them, they were not really sure what to put there. They were not real sure. They knew that the word that was used here, they knew that that word, which is the Greek word lithanos, L-I-T-H-O-N-O-S, lithanos. And just about every other time that word is used in the New Testament, it is translated stone. A stone. All right, now how big are these hailstones? 100 pounds. Folks, I don't think that we're going to see 100-pound hailstones falling out of the sky. I think what's going to happen when this great earthquake hits is the earth is going to convulse. The earth is going to take all of that has been building and building and building and pushing up the mountains. All of Mount Everest grows by several inches every year. It does. Check it out. It grows by several inches every year. Why? Because of all that pressure that is underneath it and that molten lava and all the stuff that is down in the earth, and it's pushing it up all the time. And so when everything is made flat, when the earthquake happens and the earth is reduced to level, what happens when a volcano erupts? What's it throw out? Lots of big rocks. More than 100 pounders. I don't know if you saw that one here a while back wherever that was, out off of the African coast. But when that thing hit, I mean, pieces of magma as big as this stage were coming up out of that thing. Now you think about that. Those people down there just stood and watched as a river of lava, fire rolled past them. And when this earthquake happens, boom, the whole earth is going to be leveled. So can you imagine the earth is shaking and then all of a sudden here comes hailstones the size of this platform up here raining down upon men. Oh, the wrath and judgment of God. Folks, listen, be thankful you know the Lord is your Savior. Be thankful you're on the Lord's side. Because this is going to be very, very serious. Go back to chapter 11 for just a moment. Revelation 11. I think you can see John said, this earthquake is going to be exceeding great. All right, look please, if you will, at verse 19 of chapter 11. All right, the Bible says that, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings. Have we not read that somewhere before? Verse 18 of chapter 16. Yep. And voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great lithanos. Great stones, hail. Man, I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. And I don't have to go through all this wrath and all this judgment. And John said in the last part of verse 21 that this plague was exceeding great. So folks, visualize with me for just a moment. I mean, it's raining 100-pound plus boulders. The greatest earthquake the world has ever seen is shaking and rattling the entire earth. Mountains are falling. Great fissures are opening up. Cities are crumbling and falling down to the ground. Tidal waves are attacking the coast, and there is death and destruction everywhere. It's no wonder John said that this plague is exceeding great. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? All right, now, next week we will start into chapter 17. So let me encourage you to read chapter 17, and we'll dig into it. Let me close with this. Go back, please, for just a moment to the Psalms. Let me have you turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. All right, look please, if you will, let's go back to verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's prophecy. And you will notice that the S is capitalized. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And that's exactly what's going to happen during the millennium. Verse 9, watch this now. Thou shalt, what's the next word? Break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So what should man do? Well, verse 10, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed. You say, instructed in what? This. In this. It's going to happen. This is what's coming right here. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Instead of cursing the Son, kiss the Son. Why don't you just put your arms around Him and love Him and trust Him? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled, but a little, just a little bit. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Isn't that good? Amen. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray. Tim, if you'll choose a song for me, please. All right. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. Help us to see and to understand that sin is going to be judged. And we are seeing our world just run headlong into hardness of heart, into blasphemy, into murder, into lying, just going headlong. Our world has become drunk. Our world has become drugged. And Father, I pray that you will one last time send a revival of the Holy Spirit of God upon this country. But Father, if not, if that's not in your plan, then we pray, as did John, even so come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.